This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Have you ever had to do something others have expected you to do and failed spectacularly? The people look at you and you look at them in the silence and embarrassment. Well, I was invited to preach at Durham Cathedral once to celebrate the work of St John Ambulance, to congratulate them on their dedication to duty and service. And the ceremony that surrounded us that day in that cathedral was awe-inspiring. There was a grand procession at the beginning, led by men with long staffs striking the ground with their staffs as they marched, and the organ boomed out the hymns magnificently. Consequently, I grew very nervous, and then it was my turn for the sermon. Clutching my notes tightly in my hand, I mounted the 20 or so steps which led right up into the high pulpit where I was to preach, and I said my opening prayer. Everyone sat down to listen, and I opened my notes only to discover I was holding the hymn sheet and not my notes. I looked at the congregation and they gazed expectantly at me, and I glanced then over the top of the pulpit to see my sermon notes lying on the chair far below. Now, I could have spoken without the notes, I reasoned, but what if I fluffed and had a mind blockage? What then? Oh, goodness. I was rescued by a steward who retrieved my notes for me when I explained the situation to the congregation. So embarrassing. Let's not talk about it. In our gospel reading today, Jesus does something which embarrasses and rather shocks his disciples. He goes against what they expect of him. So what was Jesus up to when they arrived back from their shopping trip? Let's have a jolly song, shall we? Here's Venner singing, "I Want to Be the Way You Are." What was Jesus' mistake, his faux pas? Well, he was actually chatting to an unaccompanied woman. If we know anything about Middle Eastern culture, even in today's world, we'll understand that this was indeed quite shocking. Not only this, she was also a Samaritan, whose people had been at odds with Jews for quite some time. But did Jesus care about what others thought? Well, no, he didn't. Later, through this one woman, Jesus reached an entire town. His mission in life was far more important than rules and regulations. He did what his Heavenly Father expected of him. Let's listen to someone we haven't heard for a long time, Ben Cantillon, singing Guardian. This morning in our gospel reading from John chapter 4, we get to eavesdrop on this intense conversation between Jesus and this woman. It's quite a long reading today, but one worth hearing. So what was it that these two were discussing? So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank from it himself, also did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more people became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world."
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens unto you. Jesus, Jesus.
That was Living Water by Vinesong. It's interesting that the well Jesus visited here in Sychar was one dug by Jacob and his family centuries before Jesus lived. You can still visit the spot today and it still produces fresh water. Wells had to be dug deep in these arid countries. Tremendous effort and skill was needed to penetrate through many different layers of rock and soil in order to reach underground springs. But here, Jesus also reaches down into this woman's soul by asking the kind of questions that demand a response. And all this made her curious about him, especially when he claimed to have a secret stash of living water. Here's a song sung by Kirsten Getty which has this to say. Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Come and drink these living waters. Tired and broken, peace unspoken, rest beside these living waters. Kirsten Getty with Living Waters.
Are you thirsty? Are you empty?
With deep insight, Jesus confronts this woman, so much so that she keeps on changing the subject each time he gets too close to the truth. There are times when God speaks to our hearts through other people, on important issues, things that really matter to us. Don't we do the same? Change tack? Change the subject? When the woman realizes that Jesus seems to know every detail of her life, she recognizes him as a prophet. He goes on to show that he's much more than that. He's the very source of the living water he's offering. When she tells him that the Messiah will come one day and all will become clear, he leaves her in no doubt as to who he really is. He says very much the same to us today when we ask for help or cry out for answers. I'm the one you're looking for. Try me. What exactly did Jesus mean, though, when he offered the woman living water? It's interesting that the River Jordan feeds both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The two seas are only 63 miles apart, yet one spells life, the other death. At Galilee in the north, water flows in from the mountains and flows out again and runs on. It's fresh and consequently teeming with life. The river continues south to the Dead Sea, which has no outlet. And so the waters become a mix of salt bromide and other chemicals, making it impossible for life to exist. Jesus was offering this woman something fresh and living and life-giving. How many of us feel empty inside and would love to taste such living water ourselves? His offer is still open. Let's listen to the Living Stones Quartet singing, Fill My Cup, Lord.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking. for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
There are millions in this world who are craving for pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
So, how does our story today end? The woman immediately went into town to share her good news with everyone, and the people rushed to hear Jesus. It's the townsfolk who have the last words. They tell her, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." Christianity was once described as one thirsty traveller in the desert, telling another where to find the oasis. Are we as eager to share the good news of Jesus? Are we willing to pour out the living water we've received in order to bring life to others? Or do we make of Jesus' message a private oasis for our own comfort? Now on the news, we get so distressed, don't we, by images of damage caused by floods which rage across the world, where rivers have burst their banks, causing great damage and suffering to homeowners and endangering life. But just imagine for a moment an outpouring of the kind of living water that Jesus spoke of, bursting its banks with acts of love and generosity, overflowing not to damage but to mend, not causing distress but to bestow healing, not to create fear but to inspire love. What we need is a new vision of what we could achieve in our world if we were all to come and drink of the living water that Jesus spoke of. May the Lord God Almighty grant us this day the ability to refresh others on their journey with his living water. And may he give us the vision to look on all peoples of this world without fear or discrimination, without labels or judgment, but with fresh eyes. And so we come to our final hymn, written and sung by Ron Bedford and United Folk, "If Any Man Thirsts." It's time to say goodbye now. It's Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick.
Bye, everyone.
Saying goodbye to you. Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
If any man thirsts, let